Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Sometimes critics of New Testament Christianity accuse believers of leaving their minds outside the church building when they go to worship. The people who make such accusations are either ignorant or they deliberately overlook the Bible's appeal to the mind. Paul exhorted the Roman Christians, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:2. The word prove does not mean to demonstrate the truthfulness of God's will. It means to try with a view of either approving or disapproving the will of God. In other words, interested people must use their minds to examine whether they are willing to obey the will of God. The truth is, the Bible never bypasses our minds. It appeals to our minds. The Apostle Paul discusses three kinds of Christians: the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. The natural, or literally soulish man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. I'm not sure why the King James translators render the Greek verb anakrino, discern, in verse 14, and judge in verse 15. The New American Standard Bible translates the verb appraise in both verses. Paul is arguing that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned or appraised. On the one hand, the natural man is one who depends on his own wisdom and understanding. He believes he does not need the things of the Spirit of God. On the other hand, the spiritual man discerns or judges or appraises all things. But he himself is not judged or appraised by any man. His understanding does not stem from his own wisdom, but from the wisdom that comes from God. Have you ever wondered why those who follow Christ have a different view of moral and spiritual matters from those who are worldly-minded? For example, Christians vigorously oppose pornography, premarital sex, abortion, adultery, gambling, and homosexuality. Why do they oppose these activities? Is it because they have superior intellects? They oppose all evil because they have the mind of Jesus Christ. Paul asked the Corinthians, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" The answer to that question, which Paul adapted from Isaiah 40:13, is very simple. Nobody. Nobody knows the mind of God so that he may instruct him. The only way anyone can know the mind of God is for God to open his mind, figuratively speaking, and allow us to look within. That is precisely what he has done, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:6-13. Paul concludes his discussion by affirming, "But we have the mind of Christ," 1 Corinthians 2:16. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Does it not mean we learn to think like Christ? In his joyful letter to the church at Philippi, Paul urged his fellow believers, "Look not every man on his own interest, but every man also on the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:4-5. In this beautiful passage, Paul describes Christ's humility in being obedient to death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:8. John uses somewhat different language, but the message is the same. Jesus told some of his fellow Jews, "I do always those things that please him," John 8:29. Many passages in the gospel records enable us to understand the mind of Christ. I recommend that you carefully study John 4 to understand our Lord's attitude toward people of other ethnic backgrounds, toward women, toward the work of God, toward worship, and toward the sin and the sinner. I believe you will profit greatly by reading and studying carefully this great chapter in the book of John. We thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless and keep you.